bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
We're back in Toronto, and again with the skipper, Buck Showalter. This is the manager's report. Buck, about Kevin Gausman last night, was that more like what you anticipated from him?
Well, he's pitched well this year. You know, some of the pitch counts have gotten real deep on him, some foul balls and some counts that he let get away from him. But stuff-wise, and the other team hitting him, it's been good, and not hitting him. So that was key to the game. As much as you want to talk about any part of it, you know, we got in late the night before, a little not – flat, just, you know, I tell you, their pitcher had a lot to do with it, too. He was on top of form. We knew he would be after that first tough outing. He'd save one for us, but we scored one more run than they did. Bullpen made it stand up and played some good defense late in the game.
Gausman did a great job in the sixth inning, as you say, managed the damage. Now, obviously, the talent level has a lot to do with it, but generally speaking, how long does it take a pitcher to learn to manage the damage?
Well, what happens, Joe, is you hear me talk a lot about the process. Where is he at in the process? And, you know, we felt like he and Dylan had a chance to kind of graduate to the next level this year, because you learn that more is not always better. You don't go back and try to throw 101 now to get out of that. You maybe you know that they're very aggressive at that moment. You might soften up a little bit and let them get themselves out and don't constantly be pushing the accelerator. And, you know, he knows with our club, you know, if we can stay close, we like our chances late in the game.
All right. Let me ask you about Darren O'Day, because you said Kevin Gausman was the key in that game. How about the way Darren O'Day pitched? That had to be satisfying.
Well, Darren's come on. He had a good outing in Boston, just some swinging bunts and some balls just out of reach and double play ball that we uncharacteristically didn't turn. And I thought I saw that coming. I think we keep in mind, anybody that's had this strain of flu going around, it was about a month-long thing. And I think Darren's finally got his legs back under him and, you know, pitched well there, as did Brocky and of course, Zach. Back at the end.
Again, back in Toronto, with skipper Buck Showalter, as we continue with the manager's report. Buck, Zach Britton picked up the save last night. He had the battle, ground ball, got through the infield. There was a walk. Let me ask you this, though. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because all of a sudden, a pitch that has been a strike the entire game, all of a sudden, is not a strike in that ninth inning.
Well, you know how they say the ninth inning is unlike any other for pitchers? Yeah. So are they for some umpires. We'll leave it at that. But, no, Zach had a good outing. I mean, he gives up a ground ball for the first out, a ground ball that sneaks through the second one. He strikes out the next guy. They call ball four. And then we get a wild pitch that, you know, when he's got 4 days off, that comes into play more. I'd never go more than four with him or Brad. And I knew they were both going to pitch last night. So that was another reason why I didn't feel confident about loading the bases and painting him into a corner where he's got to straighten the ball out and throw a strike and give him some margin for error. And, you know, decisions to play the infield in or back. And, you know, J.J. made a great play there. You know, they were reading contact, but when Zach stuck his glove up, it froze Tulowitzki at third base, because if you look at the replay, I watched it after the game was over, got run on second, was breaking the third, and then he read that Tulowitzki didn't go and went back. So that was you know, luckily we were at a three depth, which allowed J.J. to get on top of that and throw the guy at the plate.
Yeah, phenomenal play. Let me ask you, you mentioned J.J., big RBI last night. Scope had a big RBI last night. It must be a pretty good lineup when you got guys like Scope and Hardy batting eighth and ninth in that lineup.
Well, you know, and that's a real tribute to our guys. There's no real ego there. These guys, I think they trust us and you know, it's just anytime you can stretch out the lineup and make a pitcher grind one through nine, you know, that's important, because they're all looking for places to kind of coast a little bit. And he was so we like those guys. And they're maneuverable. We can move them up, move them down, depending on the matchup. Like, you know, we want to make sure that Castillo is available for tomorrow, so he's not going to catch tonight, because he handles Estrada real well.
All right, final question. Alec Asher is on the taxi squad, right?
Yeah, it sounds kind of painful, but no, he can be do everything except be in the dugout during the game, and MLB allows those guys to get in the day before to get acclimated, and which he'll do everything with us today and start tomorrow.
All right, Buck. Thank you. All the best in game two.
All right, that is the skipper, Buck Showalter, and the Geico manager's report. Geico offers a variety of policies for your commercial needs, whether it's liability, business owner's policies, commercial auto, or even rideshare insurance. Well, Geico can help. Go to geico.com/commercial and get your free quote today. Well, Stefan Crichton tomorrow will take on the Blue Jays in his Orioles debut. He'll be the starting pitcher. But earlier today, he took on a much more difficult task. He sat down with Jim Hunter. You're going to hear that conversation in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
In Toronto, where the Dome is closed and the Orioles and Blue Jays getting set to play Game 2 in this four-game series. And up next, we'll chat with the newest of the relievers, Stefan Crichton, on the Orioles Radio Network. Orioles and Blue Jays, Game 2 of the four-game series tonight here at Rogers Center, and a chance to meet and get caught up with Stefan Crichton, who's been in the big leagues now for, what, 24 hours?
Yes, 24 hours.
It's been an interesting week. The other day, you're in the bullpen with Jimmy Iacobonis, your good friend at AAA, and last night, you're in the bullpen with Zach Britton, who all he did was lead the world in saves last year. Pretty good couple of days.
Pretty amazing couple of days, to say the least.
Now, what do you feel got you here this quickly? What was it, the showings in spring training where Buck continued to call you over from the minor league camp and all you did was put up zeros?
I'd say that's probably has something to do with it. I think Buck looks for guys who throw strikes and kind of limit the walks and the self-errors, and that's kind of my MO as of recent is just, you know, pounding the zone both sides of the plate with a fastball and throwing breaking ball for, you know, swing and miss pitch and for a strike. And that's, I think, part of the reason why I got this opportunity.
With the minor league players that were called over to the major league games, do you look at that or did you look at that as, wow, this is an audition? Or did you look at it that, well, let me just go do my thing and hopefully they notice?
Yeah, no, definitely just going over there doing my thing. I mean, it's probably a good thing to look at it like it's an audition, but, you know, I kind of, at the time, I didn't exactly think it was, so, yeah, I definitely just kind of went over there and did my thing.
I guess when you're not on the 40-man roster, that's the first step that has to come, but the one thing with this organization, they have proven over the last few years, if you're the next best available player, they'll find a spot, as they did with you.
No, absolutely. No, I think that's a good thing, too. I think, you know, obviously, I'm not going to be complaining, you know, but yeah, absolutely.
How much does it help for the minor league players when they look and see, you know, last year Donnie Hart got called up, in fact, twice, and now he's here for good. Guys that were given opportunities and coming up from Double A, does that give the minor league players incentive that if they just take care of business, they might be next?
I think absolutely it does. I think, you know, having that mindset of, hey, you know, anyone, literally anyone could get called up at any moment. I think that definitely adds some, not encouragement, but, you know, it makes you prepare harder, prepare more, you know, want to work harder and have more success just because, you know, the Orioles are an organization that will call people up. So
I've always wondered about, especially AAA guys who are right on the cusp of coming up, if you follow the major league team and wonder, that might be a spot for me, or, oh, I see this happen. Do the minor league players do that?
I'm sure there are. I personally don't. I just kind of like to worry about things that I can control. And what happens up here, you know, when I'm in the minor leagues isn't really something that I can control. So that I don't really find myself worrying about that often.
And as far as how long you're here, we don't know. When Donnie came up the first time, he was there about a week, and then they needed another roster spot. But the thing is, as long as you're here, that's all that matters for the moment, right?
No, absolutely. And I'm happy to be here and happy to, you know, spend some time up here with the, you know, with the big league club and just kind of get my feet wet. You know, I'm sure I'll get, you know, moved down at some point, which, again, I'm not really, it's out of my control. So I'm just, you know, I'm trying to take advantage of every opportunity that I get up here.
I was looking at your numbers, and as a right-handed power pitcher, in your career, you dominated right-handed hitters. Lefties hit a little better, but for whatever reason, in the couple of games you had this year, it's flipped. Lefties batting less than righties. Did you change something?
Not so much with my stuff. It's you always hear people talking about the mental side of the game, and I think that that's something that I've started to understand better recently, which has helped me in terms of, you know, whether it be a lefty or righty in the box, you got to have the, you know, the same approach regardless. So
a mental thought process facing the hitters, what goes into that and what do you process as you're about to throw a pitch?
Oh, gosh. it is. For me, it's kind of not taking a pitch off. There's times where I can kind of, you know, I get a quick out and I'll start to relax. And it's, for me, it's a matter of staying into every pitch, having conviction of every pitch, and trusting that my stuff is good enough to get people out.
Are you of the mindset that even though you do have strikeout stuff that, hey, I'll throw my sinker, hit a ground ball, one or two pitch at bat and move on?
Absolutely, man. I can't, if I get caught up in trying to strike everyone out, I start to aim and start to try and be too perfect with my stuff. And, you know, that in the past has hurt me. So I've kind of learned my lesson from that and just gone after every hitter. You know, I want them – I kind of go in there with that attitude of I want them to hit the ball straight into the, you know, straight into the ground. You know.
Last night, your first game here, you got to see – the bullpen used in the way that Buck likes it with a lead. You had O'Day for the seventh, you had Brock for the eighth, and Britton for the ninth. What did you learn your first day in the big leagues as you sat in the bullpen and watched the game?
Well, just watching the way these guys prepare and go about their business has been good for me. Just, you know, watching them, guys that have had a lot of success in the big leagues and are continuing to have a lot of success in the big leagues, go about their work every day. And I feel like a puppy dog just trying to kind of, you know, learn things for the first time, soak it in, and, you know, learn where I can.
Is there one player out there that you'll make a point to talk to while you're here?
All of them, man. I just, you know, I like to kind of pick brains, and I think that, you know, with the staff that we have here in the bullpen, I think it's definitely a good, I mean, you know, we have one of the best bullpens in the league, and it's just being able to talk to those guys about what they do and how they go about it is good. It's interesting. And
all right, finally, I'm probably the only one that cares about this, but did you relieve Donnie Hart bringing the snacks out last night?
I did not, actually. He said he wanted to do it. You know, I offered him. I said I was willing to do it. Obviously, I don't think I really had much of a choice, but he said he had it. He got it. So I'm not gonna say, oh no. You know, I let him do him.
Well, Stefan Crichton was drafted by the Orioles in the 23rd round of 2013 out of Texas Christian. He was the first player drafted out of TCU since a pitcher by the name of Jake Arrieta. And from Toronto, stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
All right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel with Jim Hunter back at Rogers Center. Well, they won again, and the Orioles with their third consecutive victory. They beat the Blue Jays here tonight, and they beat them by a score of 6-4. I tell you what, Jim, for the second consecutive game here for the Orioles, the starting pitcher gives you six good innings, and then O'Day, Brock, and Britton getting it done in the end. Although Britton now, it's interesting because he continues to get the job done. But tonight, Jimmy gave up three more hits. He has now given up 10 hits in, seven innings?
Seven innings, yeah.
So far. And opponents are hitting about .350 against him, and yet he's 5 out of 5 in save chances.
And that really is the bottom line. I mean, tonight he had a three-run cushion, and he did allow one run, the first run he's allowed on the year, but the three base hits made it interesting because the potential winning run was at the plate, and Steve Pierce really battled him and worked the count full. But Britton got the strikeout pitch, and you mentioned it during the ninth inning. Zach has two things at his disposal. He has the ability to throw a ground ball and the ability to strike out, and in that inning, he didn't get a ground ball for an out, but he did get two strikeouts. So get the job done, and you know he's going to turn it around. I mean, he's just too good, but he was able to do what he had to do, and he got the big out when he needed it.
It was nice to see the Orioles here tonight, Jim, doing it the old-fashioned way. They hit a bunch of home runs.
Yeah, Oriole way, four more home runs, so they already have four multi-home run games on the year. And if you look down, five of the six runs came in on those long balls, and that's Orioles baseball, Joe. They bludgeon you, and they're starting to get that home run stroke, and Manny's not even hot yet.
Yeah, no, not yet. Hey, can't wait to see that happen. Wade Miley, he wins it. He goes six innings. And the postgame show brought to you by Browns Honda City. Buy happy with Browns. Well, right away, the Orioles had the lead in this game in the second inning when the big fella Chris Davis came up to lead off. Here's the pitch. Davis lines it, extra bases in the right field corner. Bautista chasing it down. The big fella rumbling on his way to second base. He slides in, but he didn't have to. There was no play. That is a ringing double off the bat of Chris Davis. So he's out there at second base after Trumbo struck out on a ground out hit by Scope. Davis took third base. And that, as it turned out, was a real good idea. And now the breaking ball goes right past the catcher. Here comes the big fella, and he rumbles in and scores without a play. On a ball that was in the dirt, it'll be a wild pitch. It's a 1-0 Oriole lead. And meanwhile, Wade Miley began the game tonight by striking off the side. At a 1-0 lead, going to the bottom of the second inning, when Morales, a leadoff single. And then Tulowitzki, a double. And then with one away, Smoke came up and put the Blue Jays on the board. And the pitch. Smoke, breaking ball, line drive, base hit left field. So Morales comes in to tie it. Tulowitzki going to pull up at third base. The ball back in. It's a 1-1 game. And the Blue Jays now first and third with one out. All right, then Barney came up to hit. Remember in Boston when a TaylorMade double play ball to JJ was booted? Well, it happened again tonight, but to a different infielder. There's a breaking ball, ground ball to Machado, and he bobbled it. He dropped the ball. Everybody is safe, and the run scores. To Lewiski, comes in from third on a ground ball hit right to Machado, who booted it, and they get nobody. Yeah, the Blue Jays got a run. They took the lead and able to extend the lead in the bottom of the fourth inning. With two outs and the bases empty, again, Smoke came up, and he smoked one.
Here's Justin Smoke, first ball swinging deep left field, and that ball's going to go. Over the Blue Jays bullpen into the lower deck, Justin Smoke hits it out. And it's a 3-1 Toronto lead.
And it remained that way until the, top of the fifth inning when Jonathan Scope came up as the leadoff hitter. Fly ball, deep left center. Start waving way back there. Wave that baby bye-bye. And it's a one-run game. Well, we told you he's getting hot. A rocket. His second home run this season. Blue Jays ahead 3-2. There you go. Moments after that, Kim, a double. And then moments after that, Kim off the bag at second. Here comes the pitch. Hardy on a breaking ball. Hits it to deep left. JJ, did ya? Yes, you did. Wave it bye-bye. A two-run home run. And just like that, the Orioles have jumped ahead. And they had done it with the long ball. Yeah, two of them in that fifth inning. And then in the sixth inning,
Davis has doubled and scored. He's also walked. And the pitch, swinging a high fly ball, deep center field, back on a Pilar, near the wall, at the wall, and that ball is gone. It hits off the facade of the camera well, and Davis has gone deep. His third of the year, and the Orioles had a big insurance run and now lead it 5-3.
All right, there you go. So the big fella get it done in the middle of this game. Well, Wade Miley went six innings, gave up three runs, five hits. Hey, didn't walk anybody. And he also had eight strikeouts. So it was his game to win. Darren O'Day came on in the bottom of the seventh inning. He gave up a couple of hits in that inning, but then he got the big third out.
So here we go, 3-2 with two men down. Runners lead from first and second. There they go, and the pitch is swung on and popped up. O'Day's going to get out of it. Manny at third base, moving it on the grass, and he makes the catch, and O'Day gets out of it. So the Blue Jays' struggles continue at the plate. And Toronto strands two.
Well, Darren O'Day, a 1-2-3 inning yesterday, but tonight, again, got three outs, and at the same time giving up a couple of hits. But he got her done, as they say. And then Brock in the eighth inning, he struck out Bautista, he struck out Morales, and then he got two strikes on Tulowitzki. Fastball there, swing and a miss. So Tulowitzki goes down on strikes. And Brad Albee Brock comes in, and all he does is strike out the side. In a two-run game. Yeah, that's all he did, keep it a two-run game. Then in the ninth inning, Seth Smith came up to hit, and he quickly made it a three-run game. 3-2 pitch again. Fly ball, deep right field. Way back there, Mr. Smith goes deep. Wave that baby bye-bye. His second Oriole home run. On a 3-2 pitch, he connects for the fourth Orioles home run tonight. There you go. And a couple of big runs in the end there. Because Britton came out of the bullpen in the ninth inning with a three-run lead. Therefore, a save chance. But Russell Martin led off with a base hit. And then with two outs, Travis came up to hit, brought the Blue Jays a little bit closer. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Line drive toward right, coming on Smith. He pulls up, plays that ball on one bounce. And that'll drive in a run. The ball back into second base, so Martin comes in to make it 6-4. Travis ending an 0-for-29 with that base hit. After that, Pilar came up, and he singled to keep the game alive. Suddenly, the Blue Jays, they had two aboard, the tying runs on base, and they had the would-be winning run at the plate in the person of Steve Pierce. And it was a pretty good battle, but Britton eventually won the battle. Well, a couple of nail-biters in Toronto. I mean, it was 6-3 when the inning started. It is now 6-4 with two aboard. And now Britton again ready. 3-2 on the way. There go the runners. Bing, and a miss. Got him. He struck him out. And he got him on a sinker at 97. And that's how the game ends. And the Orioles in the win column again at Rogers Center. And Zach Britton is now 5 out of 5 in the save column. His 54th consecutive save. the second longest save streak in the history of the game. Yeah, he got it done. And the Orioles now 4-0 against the Blue Jays so far this year. In a moment, Jim Hunter, he's got Chris Davis, got Buck Showalter, a couple of scores. We continue on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter back at Rogers Center. Orioles win again, hanging on and beating Toronto 6-4. Birds have won 3 in a row and are now 3-1 on this road trip. They also improved to 7-2, so they've won 7 of their first 9 games. Time to hear from the skipper now. Let's head downstairs. Post-game comments, Buck Showalter is with Gary Thorne. But the Orioles win it by the final.
Buck, great starting performance. Really regrouped after that first one for Miley.
Yeah, you know, after everything said and done in a ball game, you know, some home runs and some good quality relief pitching, you know, he pitched 6 innings against a good offensive club. That was key, just like Gauz's outing last night. Very similar script.
Just attacking the strike zone as opposed to the first game?
Well, he had some weapons at his disposal. You know, the slider on the inner half that they swung over some. The changeup was there for him, and he got in really good rhythm, as Wade can do. And Caleb had some weapons at his disposal.
But the home runs, I mean, that's what the Orioles are, and they just continue to come, huh?
Well, some nights, you know, I think the big turnarounds, we struck out 5 or 6 times a night, and they struck out 15 times. So, you know, we'll see what the boys have in store for us tomorrow, Gary.
Zach, another finish that, again, a couple guys on base, but just gets it done.
It's not easy. You know, Orioles win, and Zach didn't let them score as many runs as we had over the course of 9 innings, and we'll take it. It's not easy. Brock and Darren were good again today.
All right, final question. What do you look for tomorrow from Alec in a start here?
I don't know. We'll have a good seat, you know, and we'll see. He, you know, he's shown the ability to pitch in the big leagues, and just getting an opportunity tomorrow. Hopefully he'll take it and run with it. He'll have his work cut out for him, but I know he's excited about it, and we'll have a good seat, and the Blue Jays will tell us how he's doing over there in that dugout.
All right, Skip, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Of 6-4.